Good day, listeners. This is Taylor McClure for CIDI 99.1 FM, and you're listening to Township's Daily News Bits. I am here with Louise Abbott, a local indie filmmaker and director and producer of the recent film, The Mountains of Potin. Louise, thank you so much for being here with us today.
It's a pleasure, Taylor.
So I was really just reaching out to you because I was hoping to get some information here about your recent film, The Mountains of Potin, since it's right here, local in our area. So can you please just tell us a little bit about this film and how it all got started?
Well, it started actually as a photography project. The Potin Heritage Association asked me and my husband, Niels Jensen, if we would photograph 8 mountains in Potin in all 4 seasons. And it quickly became clear that the aerial views that Niels largely took, I took one from the chairlift up Owlshead, but the rest he took with his drone, would be the most interesting for viewers because it really gives viewers a unique perspective on the mountains. Most have not seen aerial views of them. And so that the project actually was conceived as a photography project, but it evolved into a film because I was asked if I would make a presentation, and I thought that it would be a lot more interesting to make it into a short film than just having me advance slides, digital images on the screen. So that's how it all came about.
What do you hope that this film is going to contribute to the local community? I know that it was for the Potin Heritage Association, so does it have any connections to do with the history of our area here?
Well, it does. I incorporated at least a thumbnail sketch of the history of the mountains of Potin in the film. I looked at the geology through interview excerpts with Derek Booth, a retired professor from Bishop's University. I looked at conservation and included excerpts with an interview with Joël Bonnat from the Nature Conservancy of Canada. I think that I'm hoping that it will stimulate appreciation of our local landscape, the local landscape in Potin, and also make people think about conservation. And I looked at a little bit at the conservation status of some of the mountains. And I think that message is coming through to people based on the comments I've gotten. I've been actually delighted that since my presentation on May 22nd, 2,800 people have watched the English version on Vimeo, and nearly 500 people have watched the French subtitled version. So it appears to be getting around, which I guess is a product of social media. So that's all for the good.
And what do you hope that people will learn from it? You're touching on conservation. Is there any educational aspect to the film that you hope will contribute to people's knowledge about our area and about how important our landscapes are here?
First of all, just the existence of the 8 mountains. To be honest, I had a childhood connection to Potin, but just for a few years in my early childhood. And I was aware of the major mountains like Owl's Head and Elephantis and Sugarloaf, but I really wasn't aware of some of the other ones like Hawk and Bear a little bit, but I didn't know much about it. So just giving the location of the mountains, and I included a topographical map so that it would be very clear to people where the mountains are located, so to sensitize people to the names and the history of each of the mountains and the geological history of them. So I like to think that it's not just an aesthetic exercise, it's also an educational exercise, the film.
Exactly. Just like you said, making people aware of mountains that many people might not even know exist here.
Yeah, I mean, they might not have thought much about them. I mean, they are a physical presence, but if you're not in that particular part of Potin, you might not have noticed them. So I think as people drive around, they may become a little bit more conscious of them. And then with the major ones that kind of everybody knows, they may think a little bit more about preservation of at least parts of those mountains. Like Elephantis, luckily, a lot of it has been preserved. And Singer, of course, is part of a nature reserve. I should mention that the presentation of the film was accompanied. It was followed by an excellent presentation by a representative from the Reuter Valley Land Trust and a colleague of hers from the Appalachian Quarter. So it really did put the film into an environmental context. So in this case, you know, Potin Heritage Association is best known for the history that it's preserving. But I think in this case, it's natural history that we're dealing with.
Yeah, which is not a topic that's normally touched on or thought about when we're looking at the history here. I find that very unique.
Not as much, that's right. But I think that landscapes are something that are becoming more important because they're becoming more developed and degraded.
Yeah, and they're changing. They're consistently changing.
That we need to think about. Exactly. And I do include a video poem within the documentary, which was written by a poet who lives in Vale Perkins. And it was her response to the blasting that took place on Owl's Head in the spring and summer of 2021. And I shot, and my husband shot footage of that site. So she was responding to the disfigurement of a landscape that had meant so much to her for her entire life, because she lives nearby. So I think that we do, when the landscapes are really familiar to us, what you might call a primal landscape is disfigured, I think we do have a very strong emotional response. But we need to think about it before things get disfigured and try to figure out how we can stop that happening, you know, through bylaws and so on.
Yes. And I wanted to ask you as well, why did you decide to take this project on from the beginning?
Well, as I mentioned, Pawton was part of my childhood landscape. Austin was also a part of my childhood landscape. And you'll notice at the beginning of the film, I took a video shot from the mayoress's home, actually, of Austin. The mayoress of Austin has a property that overlooks the Abbey, and you could see Owl's Head in the distance. And the farm that my family occupied was adjacent to the Abbey, St. Benoît du Lac. So that whole area was a very important part of my life as a child, and I think it helped to form me in a lot of ways. So, and I have spent quite a bit of time in Pawton in recent years because I worked with a group on filming the restoration of the Round Barn in Mansonville.
Yes.
And I really appreciate the landscape of Pawton. And I, of course, I had to drive through every time that my husband and I, he was helping me with the filming in Mansonville. Every time we drove through, you know, we were driving through Pawton to Mansonville. So when the association asked us to do this project, it felt like a natural fit and it was a project that we could do on our own, over time, you know, in all four seasons, and take the time that we needed. So it was a meditative project, I think, to do. And I had a great deal of help from a childhood friend named Ann Davidson, who lives in Austin, and she knows the area very well. And she would sometimes accompany us on our trips, because we made many, many trips. I haven't counted, but dozens of trips over to the other side of the lake from where we live, because we live in Ogden. And Anne would sometimes map out routes for us ahead of time. She would phone people to that she knew to access properties so that we could get more interesting vantage points of the mountains. Because there's certain views that almost everybody is familiar with because they're taken from ground level and they're taken from the road where everybody can access. It's a public view. But we were able to get views that people wouldn't be able to access because they're taken from private property.
Okay.
So I think the meditative nature of the project was very appealing. You know, sometimes you have a project and there's a strict deadline. You as a journalist must know that.
Yes.
But when you have a project where you can really take your time and think about it, that's ideal.
Now that you've done this film, do you have any other future plans to maybe do something similar, but in other areas as well here in our beautiful region of the townships?
Well, I've been thinking about other film ideas. Of course, I'm working on a film right now, which is about a round barn in Ways Mills. But this summer, I'm going to the Lower North Shore for a history project, for a small museum there. And I'm kind of thinking of doing something, not exactly the same thing, but it's stimulated me to think about how I might do a similar project in that region. In terms of the townships, I do have another idea that stems from the presentation that the other two presenters made after the film, and it would be kind of an extension from what I've been working on. So I don't like to talk about it too much now because it's just in the very early stages of my thinking.
I wasn't sure if there was anything else that you wanted to mention, Louise, about the Mountains of Pawton film that you think would be important for people to know about.
Well, I think one thing is just to let them know that it's online now. It's on Vimeo in both the English version and the French subtitled version. And people are most welcome to see it. And one person has already asked if they can use it at a public presentation in the fall. And I'm certainly open to that as well. If anybody wants to make a presentation of it, that would be great.
So it seems like people are having a very good response to the film.
I would say they are. We've gotten an awful lot of mail about it, which is great. You know, email messages, phone calls, Facebook comments. Yeah, it's been, almost overwhelming, I would say.
Well, that's always a great sign.
It is. It is. And it stimulates me to do more.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you so much, Louise. I really appreciate your time and for doing this. Thank you so much for providing all that information for our listeners.
Thank you so much, Taylor.
Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.